CD 13. Catherine Wolfe Donoghue was buried on Friday, 29th of July, 1938. Her children were not old enough to attend the funeral, but hundreds of people gathered to pay their respects to this most exceptional woman, a quiet, unassuming person who had only wanted to work hard and love her family, but who made a difference to millions in the way she responded to her own personal tragedy. She was carried from her home by an assorted mix of Wolfe and Donoghue relatives, this final journey, at last, causing her no more pain. Her friends lined the street outside her home to accompany her to church. Only Charlotte Purcell was missing, quarantined in Chicago caring for her children, who had caught scarlet fever. The women wore their best clothes, not black attire, but floral dresses and coloured gowns. They dipped their heads as Catherine's coffin was carried past, and then they followed her, past Division Street and on to Columbus, where the slow cortege turned left. They followed her all the way to St. Columba, which had always been her spiritual home, the place where she had been baptised, where she had married Tom, and where, now, she took her final bow. She had not been back since she fell ill, but on this funeral day, Catherine Donoghue, once again, made her slow way down the aisle of the church and rested once more in the grace of God beneath that towering, arched ceiling that had been so familiar to her in life, bathed in the coloured light from the stained glass windows that her husband's family had helped to buy. Father Griffin led the mass. He spoke of the relief that death made for Mrs. Donoghue after her long and patient sufferings. It seemed, to Tom, too short a service, for when it was over, all that was left was the burial. The burial, and then the rest of his life to live without her. He was near claps as he bade farewell to his wife. The other mourners joined him in his helpless grief. In a silent but impressive few moments, a witness wrote, "Catherine's best friends, the girls who had worked in the plant with her and contracted the same poisoning, said goodbye." The scene brought to mind the words of the ancient gladiators of glorious Rome. "Moritamus te salutamus." We, who are about to die, salute thee. Their heads and their hearts were filled with Catherine, filled with her even as they left the church and blocked out the sight of the old high school across the road where she had been poisoned. Their hearts stayed full of her, as Pearl wrote to Grossman later that same day. "When I returned home from Catherine Donoghue's funeral, with my heart full of her and thoughts of your great work at the inquest and the circuit court, I felt I must drop this little note and let you know my heart is filled with gratitude when I think of the courageous battle you are waging on behalf of us girls." She closed with prayers and best wishes for further successes. But even on the day of Catherine's funeral, Grossman was in court defending her claim. The company had been denied the right of appeal, but they were appealing even that. They appealed over and over and over. In fact, Radium Dial fought the case all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America.